The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is ours. Amen. So you might as well go ahead and tell the devil tonight, I'm going to see a victory. Well, I don't want to step out on a limb here, Brother Doug. The word has already declared it. Right? God's waiting for somebody to unite their testimony here on the earth with what he already declared in the heavens. Amen. The victory is yours. Who wants to agree with him tonight? Let it be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated for just a moment. We're so glad to be back together once again for another feast. And we're thankful for so much for what we've already heard. And for the labors of the brothers that the Lord has sent our way. And where's Thomas at? I think God bless you, Thomas. Amen. The prodigal son has returned. Well, at least part of you. You look like you left part of you somewhere else. Did you lose some weight or something? Must be quite a program, huh? Yeah, well, glad that you're with us. Mike was with us last week, so you guys can kind of tag team, you know. Thomas this week. Praise the Lord. So, last night, excuse me for just a second. Last night, our brother Freddie Hatfield ministered the word and brought us a wonderful reminder and a condensed synopsis of the process of revelation and how the process of revelation has to do with the process of redemption. And how God redeems man and how he redeems the earth and about our future home. And just a very, very positive and true word and just very encouraging. And we're just so thankful for what the Lord put on his heart to bring and for him surrendering to the Lord to bring it. Reminding us that our revelation of the Lord Jesus is progressive, right? When you first gave your heart to the Lord, you had a certain level, you recognized him, that he was your Savior, right? And by revelation, by faith, but your revelation grows and your revelation of yourself grows along the way. You not only find out who he is, but you find out who you are and what your relationship is and so on and so forth. And so just, you know, many, many wonderful thoughts that were expressed last night that we'll chew on. There was a couple of zingers there last night, and he was telling us about his wife's Apple Watch, and you know how when the service gets really lively that, you know, Alexa or whoever her name is decided to tell her through the watch, you know, it's getting too noisy here. There's you know, need to quiet things down, right? And of course, he typed that with people that come to church sometimes, and they have the same feeling, right? And when he said that, I thought, yeah, and they're the same one that's looking at their watch, aren't they? So take the watch off and just throw it out. Hallelujah! Just many, many wonderful things that were brought out. I was Brother Freddie. I was thinking last night when I'd never entertained that thought before about the headstone. I remember thinking, so there was some talk at the ushering in of the new millennium. They were talking about putting the capstone back on the pyramid, right? In Egypt. And we know that the capstone belongs on top of that pyramid, and it's a type of Christ who's the head of the body, uniting with the remainder of the body. But as he pointed out, it never even occurred to me, capstone out of gold, that'd be a pretty heavy chunk of metal, right? That it would actually, the pyramid wouldn't be able to support it. It would crush maybe some of the stones up top or what have you. I just had never really, that had never struck me But I was also thinking that, you know, and then the fact that it's gold, right? So in, right, deity, right. So when we read in Daniel about the Gentile kingdoms, right, there was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interpreted, and in that dream we saw, you can see all the kingdoms of the Gentile dispensation, starting with Babylon, the head of gold, and ending up in the feet, which is the 10 toes or the 10 kingdoms of, you know, it's the east and the west. Some are made of iron, or it's a mixture of iron and clay, right? And we know that Khrushchev in Russian means clay, and we know that Eisenhower means iron, and we saw Khrushchev take off his shoe, actually showing us the fulfillment of Scripture. He took off his shoe and pounded it at a UN meeting, you know, showing us that we're at the toes part of the body, right? And it struck me that God's doing it the other way around. We got the feet that are here on the earth, and we end up with a capstone, but it's gold, it's deity. Once again, so what is typed out in the Gentile dispensations, starting out with gold and coming down to the lesser, is actually just a shadow of what the true statue, the body of Christ, looks like being built back up, right? Praise the Lord. Just many, forgive me for that. I was ruminating on that today, and I just couldn't help it. Amen. So just thank you for your labor of love last night, and we will continue to feast on that, I assure you. Tonight we have Brother Manuel Salazar with us once again, and he's a dear friend, a dear brother, and an anointed and called minister of the gospel here in the end time. And I'm excited that he's been with us so far and that he's going to minister for us again tonight. So the word that we've already heard and that we've already received, we can say that we are truly blessed. Is that right? But we're ready for more tonight, right? And we're going to be like a squirrel, you know, winter's still on. I think it's March 17th or 19th, I think, is when spring begins. So winter's still on, so we'll stuff it in our cheeks, and we'll put it here and put it there. We'll take it to our little hidey hole somewhere and put it, and we'll chew on it in the days coming ahead, because we believe that God prepares you for the word precedes your battle. So we are truly looking at it that way tonight. So as our brother sang last night, you know, let your cup and saucer overflow, and just get as much as you can. Our Father does all things well. Amen. How many believes that? Amen. And we love him with all of our hearts. And we bow our knees gladly and willingly. And we do it by revelation. We don't do it, you don't have to blow a trumpet, but we've already heard a trumpet sound, right? We've already heard the gospel trumpet sound, and it's a call to battle, and it's also a call to bow your knees. We do it willingly. We do it without even thought. We want to bow our knees to him. Amen? And, you know, as time goes by, I'll get off the stage here in just a minute. I haven't said much this week, so. As time goes by, our revelation of the double portion of grace, you know, in Revelations it says, as the capstone descended, they cried, grace, grace, right? Double portion of grace. Our revelation of the double portion of grace that's been given to us becomes more and more apparent to us. And we find ourselves in the fulfillment of that vision as we cry, grace, grace, without any thought provoking it. You just realize how the bountiful grace that's been imparted to us by revelation. Amen? And then we begin to realize we are who he has shown us that we are in his word. He's in the word, but so are you. And, you know, as John must have done when John was saw the scene in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 and the 24 elders that were before the throne, John began to look around, and John must have arrived at the point where he recognized one of those elders was himself. He saw himself in the Word, And I believe that that's part of what caused him to shout. Everything in the earth, above the earth, everything on the earth, everything below the earth. John said, heard I. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. I believe that that same thing is taking place or about to take place in our day as we, you know, we're not following cunningly devised fables that are designed to snare hearts or establish kingdoms to men. We have one book, and it's the Bible. Amen. We have one God, and it's the God of the Bible. And we can take everything back to the Word, right? Or leave it alone. It's just that simple, right? We're not trying to pull anybody this way or that way. We're trying to get everybody to Christ. That's our goal. That's our whole purpose. That's our whole motive, is to get people to Christ. He'll do the rest. We want everyone to be led by him personally. We don't want you to believe anything that he hasn't caused you to believe, right? We don't want to make you a prisoner of some organization or some other man, right? We want to make you a prisoner of love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So let's stand tonight as our brother Manuel prepares to come. We were discussing a few things. You know, there's a lot of water under the bridge. A lot of things have taken place since we first met in Española, New Mexico, near Santa Fe. And I remember the first time that I ministered there, I was I'd preached in meetings in Mexico and other countries for years, and then preached in our own church, but not a whole lot here in America, working full-time and pastoring and what have you. So I hadn't really met too many other pastors and went to too many other churches, and I was just getting out, meeting others, and I was so nervous. I was so nervous, and I remember asking everybody to pray as I was getting ready to minister and what have you. And the Lord just has a way of settling you down and dealing with those kind of things. And the Lord moved on the scene and settled me down. And he reminded me, he says, yeah. He says, I remember that. He says, you took your tie off. And I thought, that's right, I did. He said, then you started to unbutton your shirt. He was about ready to say, hold on. What's going on here? We had a very, very wonderful time. When that anointing strikes, it's not you. When that anointing strikes, the Lord is using his gift. And so I remember there was a brother from Georgia that had been praying for me before the service because he saw that I was nervous. Then after the service, he says, I'm not falling for that again. I said, really, I was nervous. The guy that makes me nervous is the guy that never gets nervous. Because our confidence is in him. And I don't care how many sermons you preach. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been in this. I always want to be in a place where, you know, where I'm worried about those things. I don't mean worried by, you know, out of fear, but that I just want to, I want to do what's right. I want God to be pleased, and I want the people to, there's lots of things we can talk about, right? But what do the people need? Only he knows that. So we know that he knows what we have need of here tonight. And there's, you know, when we have these meetings where we come together from different places, the needs are many and varied, and you operate the gift, you pull on the gift, and God speaks to you according to your need. The minister will leave the pulpit thinking, man, that's the most messed up sermon I've ever preached, and it just chop suey and cut up, but to you it doesn't look that way, right? There's continuity, and the Lord spoke to you, and you got what you needed, right? But the reason why it seems that way to the minister is because it wasn't his thinking, right? He prepared and did all that, you know, he prepared like there was no Holy Spirit, and then he got up and preached like he never prepared, and the Holy Spirit's in control, right? So it's a great paradox, but that's how it works, right? We want the Lord to take control, right? But we still have to do our part. Even if you don't preach what's in your notes, you still got to do your part, right? Then we don't So we thank the brothers. We know that each and every one has labored in that regard. And I wish we could hear from all the ministers that are here. I'm also thankful that they're getting their feet washed and they're getting to a break from the pressures and so on and so forth. So we just, our prayers that God would bless them mightily and that they go home with twice as much and go home with their cup and saucer. Spilling over and just be refreshed for the people that they're ministering to back home. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So, excuse me. That's the wrong one. I just want to be where you are. Let's sing that song as our brother Manuel comes. We love you, brother Manuel. So man. He gave it everything he had and then some, and is struggling with his voice, but we're just praying that God will bless him tonight. Amen. We'll send him home in a body bag, okay? I just wanna be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't wanna worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be, I just want to be with you. Oh my God, oh my God, you are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just wanna be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't wanna worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. One more time. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence,
want to be in his presence. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, I want to turn in our scripture this evening to Luke chapter 17. Appreciate Brother Doug having us to come out and to be here. Just true what he said was true. He got in the anointing and he was doing something like this. And he started taking off his time. We're like, take it off. Throw it. And then he started going with the buttons and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It was an amazing time. We've had some good times together. Good times, good brothers, good meetings. And we sure appreciate being here tonight, too. We're kind of switching a little bit of gears tonight. I put on my pastoring shoes, and my wife got upset with me. She's like, no, put on the evangelistic shoes tonight. And so, we just want to do what the Lord wants. Amen. And so, how many love to just read the scriptures?
Amen.
You love the Bible?
Amen.
So have your Bibles ready. We want to go through some scripture tonight. We just want to talk to you tonight just a little bit and pray that the Lord would just come and have his own way. Amen. 30th anniversary meetings. Only one service today, so I believe that you could just give it your best, and if you're falling asleep, act like you're awake at least. So we just letting you know a little ahead of time, we have just a little bit on our plate tonight. So I pray that the Lord will bless you. Brother Chris had started us out with a cloud of witnesses, and we just certainly appreciate our brother Chris. I mean, he has a unique way of bringing stuff out, his voice and these things. And, he was emphasizing we need to look like our father. And, I believe that I'm looking out to those people that look just like their daddy. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Then we had somebody else come on Thursday night. That guy. And we bowed our hearts. And then, Brother Freddie Hatfield, he came yesterday and he preached just a wonderful message. And it was just a blessing to us. And, his title was A Process of Renovation. And, it meant a lot to me because I was in the business of renovating historical homes there in Santa Fe. And I was blessed to be part of one of the most historical renovations in the United States. I mean, all the way down to the foundation and to nails and to hinges, into even the glass, old, all the way back. And, when you'd go to that place, it was like walking into a time warp where you'd think you're back in 100, 120 years ago. And it was such a blessing to have somebody that was just had the vision to put that much money and effort into doing that. And the restoration, it took years. And so we worked on that house for years, and painstaking artisans were working on that house. And but we were all thinking, when is this thing going to be done? I got to thinking, so for Brother Reuben, a title tonight is going to be A Restoration in Whom I'm Pleased to Dwell In. And so we look at that, and our brother was talking about a process of restoration, right? And so when you're in that process, how many's ever had a restoration or a renovation in their home? And then you're just there, you're already saying, man, it's time. I'm ready to see what it's going to look like. I'm ready to move in. I'm hoping these guys just hurry up and we can get this done. And I got to thinking how that the Lord, would be looking here tonight and just saying that last one. just we've been told that the Holy Ghost, that God wants to give it to us more than we even want it.
Right.
So could you just imagine him tonight with this restoration? And come in and saying, I just want that last one to die out so I can go and live in that restoration. And so, we just pray for that. We're praying for souls tonight. And so that's what we're here for. So I just pray that the Lord would come and take complete control. Amen. Let's read it into our scripture tonight in Luke. Very familiar scripture for you, Luke 17. And I want to begin at verse 26. Here in red letters, we read Jesus speaking. And it says, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of who? Who? One more time. Amen. Notice, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Notice verse 28 says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now verse 30 says, even thus, notice, shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Can we say amen to the word of God? Now I want to turn in our scripture to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, when you're there, you can just say amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 6, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. Notice here in verse 6, the Bible says, then the Lord said unto Moses. Remember, it's the Lord speaking here. The Lord said. The Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God, someone say God, spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Now, regardless if we argue whether that's a name or not, God said it was. Because notice he said by the name of God Almighty, but he says by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So I was known to them by a certain name, but also my name Jehovah, I wasn't known to them by the name of Jehovah. Notice it goes on to say verse 4, and I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of where? Canaan. The land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. Hallelujah. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great what? Judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And verse 8 says, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, humbly we come before you this evening, Lord, grateful for your tender mercies, your wonderful grace, Lord, as we have heard, grace, grace, in this day, Lord God. Father, nothing that we've done that we will do or could do, Father. Lord, it was by your blood, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, each and every person today, covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, in this building now, Father, we pray now that if there are any evil hindrances, any evil thoughts, any evil spirits, Lord, that you would just remove them from this building right now. Father, that if we had any thoughts of the day, of the work, week, or whatever it is, Lord, that, Father, as I step aside, Lord, and give myself over to thee, I pray the people would do the same, Lord God. Lord, that we would be shut in this building tonight, Father, with you, Lord God. And Lord, with that taking place, anything is possible. Lord, your word is the most important thing, Father. And we pray today, Lord, that you'd bless your people. May the Holy Spirit come, Lord, take complete control. And may you brood over them, Father, have thine own way. And we promise to give you all the honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. And we all say amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to begin this evening in asking you a question and just to see if you'd give me an answer. I want to ask the question, does God keep His promises?
Yes.
Does God keep His promises?
Yes.
Every promise that God has given us, He keeps.
Yes.
He's a keeper of promises, amen?
Yes.
And personally, have you kept the word and asked God to keep His promise? And has He fulfilled His promise? Notice we look at that and we see that when somebody makes us a promise, we expect them to keep it. If you are a good daddy and you promise your children something, you will be expected to follow through with that promise. And if you don't, that you get a broken heart. And so we know that we're really careful to our children of the promises that we give him because we want to be able to fulfill those promises. Amen. And so we wait in expectation for the promise, Brother Rick, to be fulfilled. And so when God gives us a promise, we know that he's going to fulfill it. And it doesn't matter how many years that it takes. We're still in great expectation for that promise. And so we see that when that promise does come through, or that promise then becomes manifest, then we're excited about that. Amen? Can we say amen? And we wait in expectation for that promise to become manifest. Now, I want to take that word tonight, and so that we're all on the same page, I want to read it to us, the definition of it. And the word manifest means to display. Somebody say display. The word manifest means to show. The word manifest means to make visible. Notice this. The word manifest means to make openly known or appear. And so we look at that tonight and we read in the scriptures here where God's own testimony said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, He was saying, I was manifested to them, or I was known to them, right, as God Almighty, to which we know is El Shaddai. Somebody say El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
I was known to them as El Shaddai.
Amen.
And the reason that we know He was known to them that way is because He said that He was. He said, I was known to them by that name. And we know that El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. We know that it means that He's our provider. We know that El Shaddai means protection. So we know to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, He was sufficient for them. He was their protector. He protected them. He was their provider and He provided for them. And they loved Him for it. Hallelujah. And we know that in our day that He's still our provider. He's still our protector. He is the all-sufficient one. But we know Him in a greater manifestation. So we look and we say, we're not just satisfied with justification.
Right.
Although we love the part of justification, we're not just satisfied with sanctification. Although we need to be clean. Come on, church. As our brother said, it's not just the Holy Ghost, but the adoption of a son. And so we know that God is always showing greater and greater and more and more. So we look to that this evening and we recognize that in this manifestation of El Shaddai, we know that He made many promises to them. We were reading them in the scriptures. And the Lord was saying, I will. And I will. I'll do this. And I'll do this. And I'll do this. And we find out that in that manifestation, there was many promises in El Shaddai. And when we look at it tonight, we find out that we remember that He was using this name, because He said that it was this name He was revealed to them instead of Jehovah. And so we have to realize here that the name Jehovah, it actually means the self-existing one. Jehovah means the eternal one. Notice, who keeps his covenants and fulfills his promises. So in other words, now God was giving them promise after promise after promise, and was known to them in that manifestation of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. But he wasn't known to them, or he wasn't showing himself to them as Jehovah. Notice, we find out that when we look through your scriptures, you'll find out that the name Jehovah had already been used even since before that time. It wasn't something new. But we have to recognize that that word Jehovah, or the manifestation of Jehovah, and we're going to say tonight the full impact or the manifestation of Jehovah was not known to them until. Somebody say until. Until those promises were fulfilled. And we find out that those promises were fulfilled in Abraham, in Isaac, in Jacob's children, when he pulled them out of Egypt, hello, and he placed them in the promised land, and then he was known to his children as Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we just see how God showing himself. Can we say amen? Notice, as we see that manifestation of to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his children, to their children, they were now known, he was now known to them, or manifested or showing himself as Jehovah. And they could say, I know that he's Jehovah because he made promises to our father, and now he came and he keeps those promises. So now we know that he's a God that fulfills his promises. Therefore, we can call him Jehovah, and we know him in that great name. And so I was looking through the scripture, and at one point, Job had said, I had heard about you, but now I see. And you know, oftentimes we see so many church people keep hearing about our Lord, but they never really see, they never know him in his manifestation, the manifestation of the message of the hour. Somebody say the message of the hour. It's the message of the hour. I want to turn now in a scripture to Matthew chapter 1. You guys get to cheat and look on the board. Matthew chapter 1, when you're there, it's not on the board, so we're going to say, let's begin at verse 18. Notice, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ, whose birth was it?
Jesus.
Was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of who? Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And notice, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name
Jesus.
And thou shalt call his name
Jesus.
Brother, give me just a little bit more on these. And she shall call forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
So the Bible already tells us his mission. There's his mission. You're going to call him Jesus, and he's going to save his people from the sins. So now we know the name, and we understand the mission. Now, we understood the mission of Jehovah was fulfilling his promises to the people. And so now we look and we see Jesus, right? And we find out that his mission is to be a kinsman redeemer. By the scripture, he's going to save his people from their sins. Notice, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And so we looked at this scripture tonight and said, well, wait a minute, did Isaiah miss it? Because we just read that the angel of the Lord said to call his name Jesus. But 800 years before that, Isaiah said, no, you're going to call his name Emmanuel. And so he asked, well, wait. So people would look and say, oh, well, that prophet's wrong. He missed it. Because they wouldn't understand. Absolutely not. Isaiah hit it right exactly where it had to be. Notice we see that Isaiah had prophesied that his name would be called Emmanuel. Notice, let's just read that again. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So now we have an understanding here of a name. Now Jesus, right, was here to save his people from their sins. And we look at that this evening, and the name Emmanuel means God with us, right? And so when we look at it, we find out that Isaiah absolutely had it right, because the name, notice, the name Jesus identified the body. So whenever, Brother Hammer, whenever that you would see him, you'd have to identify where he is. Where is he? He's in the temple. Who? Jesus. Oh, yeah, because he's in that body, right? There he is. He's walking, and maybe as a kid, oh, Jesus. And there he was. The identification needed him, right? So now we see, but in a greater manifestation, we have to look that one, that name Jesus identified the body, right? But then we come and we see the other name, Emmanuel, identified the one in the body. So now it was to look and just to say, oh yeah, well there goes Jesus. But then it was different when you knew the manifestation. You said, well wait a minute, God's in that body. It's more than just a name. It's more than just a person walking. It's more than a young boy confounding the people. So if you only knew him as Jesus, oh yeah, he grew up next to us and you know, he was special. He was all right. But if you knew him in a greater manifestation, then you would be able to worship him. And then you'd be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. So one would know him, but one would really know him. So you already see where I'm going tonight. Notice you can take that and see one's referencing, you know, the manifestation of that age. Right? Jesus was there, and he was doing exactly what he needed for that time. But then we look at the other name, Emmanuel, God in us, or God in, right? Then we find out that it was a reference to the church ages. So do you see the importance of the name? And even more than that, the importance of the nature. Or the manifestation that's coming through that name. If I would look out tonight and you know, just talk to our brother here, and I would say, Brother Freddie. See, he wouldn't even raise his head. Or I'd say, Brother Mark. And Freddie said he's lost it. What's the importance of the name, right? But if I would come and say, oh, God bless you, Pastor. Right? Now it would still be with him, but it's a manifestation of our Brother Mark.
Amen. Because he's a pastor. That's what he does. His nature is pastor nature, right? So we have to realize, you know, we know him in a certain name, but I'm sure our sister knows him in a greater revelation of his name. More than we would, more than just being a pastor, she knows him as a husband. But it's still the same person, but a greater manifestation to him. Is that all right? We could say we already been given what Jesus was to do for his people, to save his people. So we could look at that tonight and say, well, his mission, we know what his mission is, kinsman redeemer. And he didn't stray from that mission. And Brother Bal and Brother Boaz already know, because they had already heard that there, when a man is on a mission. I was telling him, you know what, back home we have a lot of people, but a lot of friends, maybe not in church, and they would say, hey, where's this guy? We'd say, ah, he's on a mission. And they would know where he's at. You guys don't know that? There'd be someone, oh, well, where's this person? Oh, man, he's on a mission. And those missions, nothing would stray them from it. You take somebody who's addicted to something. And it didn't matter. They will lie. They will steal. They will cheat from their mama, from their daddy, and all these things, right? And you'd ask them, where are they? On a mission. Well, what are they on a mission for? To get what they need. And nothing strays them from that mission. But we know when we understand that Jesus, his mission was to redeem the people from their sins, nothing would stray him from that mission. So it's important that we know what mission that somebody's on.
Amen.
And we look at it tonight and we see that this one, Jesus, revealed the mission, right, to be a kinsman redeemer. And the other one, Emmanuel, revealed the mighty God unveiled. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I want to begin at verse 13. Notice here in the Bible it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say thee that I am? Notice, we look here in the scripture, it says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Notice, we see here that Jesus was asking, and of course we heard our brother the other night saying it. Some were yelling out, you know, well, he was John. Others were saying Elijah, and some saying Jeremiah, or one of the prophets that he was. And we find out that he didn't answer to none of those. And when you read in here, it's an interesting question, because he himself told you who he was. When you look, he says, who do men say that I, notice, and then he lets you know, the Son of Man am. And they didn't just say, well, you're the Son of Man. No, they started looking and saying, well, you're this and you're that and you're this and that. But you see here, the revelation that Peter grabbed here was that he was the Son of God. And when he realized that he was the Son of God, then he understood his mission. Then he understood the nature. Jesus wasn't asking for an earthly name. Oh, I'm Tommy or Johnny. No, he wasn't asking for that. He was asking, do you know what I'm here for? And when he realized that he was the Son of God, Peter then realized, well, now I know what your mission is. Now I have an understanding of really who you are. Are you with me? Notice he was asking for the name that revealed his nature, sis. Come on, do you know it? We look into our scriptures, and he himself was saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And notice, you know, the Bible's saying, well, his name is Jesus, and his name would be Emmanuel. And here he's saying, well, I'm the Son of Man. But Peter caught the vision. He knew now that he was the Son of God. And he knew what his mission was going forward. You know, isn't it rough to get into a vehicle with somebody and they don't tell you where you're going? I'll get in the car and my wife will say, aren't you going to tell us where we're going? And then I'll say, well, you'll find out when we get there. And then... But we need to know where we're headed. We need to know our mission. Notice I want to turn to John chapter 17. When you're there, you can say amen. We'll just wait until our brothers can get it up. We'll read it all together. John chapter 17. Notice John 17 and 1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. Amen. As thou hast given him power over flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God.
Oh, hallelujah.
This is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Brother, is it important that we know that we know that we know? Notice verse 4 says, this is Jesus saying, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Watch his prayer. He's praying to the Father saying, I've completed my mission. I was on that mission. And I've done exactly what I had to do. Notice, I'm going to read it again. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished. Somebody say finished.
Finish.
I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have what?
Manifested.
I have manifested thy name. My mission was to manifest who you are. And he says, and I've done it. Remember, he was getting ready to be crucified. Hello, somebody. But now in his prayer, he's saying, I manifest and I've done exactly what I was here for. And notice, I've manifested thy name. Unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The ones that you gave me, those ones you told me about, I manifested myself to them. And they understood who I am. I've done exactly what I was supposed to do. And those that I was sent to, oh, hallelujah, they knew exactly who I am. Notice the same in our day. Those that he sent to will know exactly who he is. Glory to God. Notice verse 6 again. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come out from thee. I did a good job in what I was supposed to do. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. Notice, once again in verse 9, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast did sent me. Notice verse 9, I pray for them. I pray. There's something special in the ones that he comes to manifest himself to. I know that upsets many people. But don't be upset because you're chosen. I'm chosen, but I feel so sad for everybody else. Hey, be happy in your choosing. Be joyful in your choosing. Say, Lord, thank you for choosing a wretch like me. It's like, I can't be happy if somebody's going to be... I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am what? Glorified in them. Can someone say amen tonight? Notice he was saying, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. They kept my word to these ones chosen, to the elect. My nature has been revealed to them, who I am, my word, and my mission to them, and I pray for them. And I'm glorified in them. Notice in the scriptures, John 15 and 7, I didn't give it to the brother, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye, somebody say me, that ye bear much fruit. Not your neighbor. Come on, church. Not somebody you know down the... That ye bear much fruit. I'm going to read that again. Herein is my Father glorified. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Sister Tina, you got to bear fruit. Come on, Sister Shannon, you got to bear fruit. Because Jesus said, I came and I did exactly, I bared the fruit. I came and revealed the word. I came and showed forth exactly what the Father sent me to do. I'm bearing all kinds of fruit, but now you shall bear fruit. You'll glorify the Father. How? By bearing fruit. What kind of fruit? Showing Tucson who Jesus Christ is. Revealing the word. And letting the people know his mission. You mean he still has a mission? If he didn't, we'd be out of here. We're looking for that last one. We're not looking to entertain you. We're calling for that last one. We're giving our all for that last one. Notice, I want to look into certain scriptures tonight, but, you know, Jesus was saying, I have manifested thy name unto men. He's saying, I've declared something. I've declared the Father. We're going to put it this way tonight, or unveiled the Father. When I manifested him, I unveiled him. When I manifested him, I unveiled him. It's the mighty God unveiled. And Jesus was saying, God in a man. I done exactly. Father, I showed him who you are. God in flesh. Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Isn't that what Peter understood? Well, you're the Son of God. You're God in flesh. You're not just Jesus, the one that came to redeem, but now it's Emmanuel. It's God in that flesh. That's who you are. And I understand the mission. I understand your nature. In the scripture it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What was Jesus doing? Declaring the Father. He declared him. Brother JJ, he declared the Father. And he did a good job. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He said, Father, I've manifested. I've manifested you. The people know who you are. Those that were sent. Those that were chosen. Now you look at the way that Jesus works. We find out that he just didn't instantly reveal himself to the disciples. Why? It would have been too much for them. Brother Leon, it would have been too much. He could have just thrown and instantly revealed himself to you. It would be too much for you to bear. You'd be there bareback like in the days of the Old Testament. Say, whoa, no, no. Put something between us. It's too much. God is too great. But he gradually, Brother Mark, gradually started to reveal his nature to his disciples. And they started catching it. Whoa, no man can do that. Who can stop a storm? Brother Dave, slowly, he just starts revealing it to them. Gradually. Hello, somebody. Notice, He starts to reveal his nature to them. They start seeing him, and then he starts telling them what his mission is going to be. The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus talking, saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Amen. You can't bear them right now, he was telling you. You can't bear. I have so much to tell you, but you can't bear it right now.
Right.
It was his own testimony declaring at that time that he was leaving many, many, many things, brother, unrevealed. I have more things to tell you, but I'm not going to tell them because you can't bear it now, Brother Doug. It could have been said the same thing, saying, oh, you know me as El Shaddai. But I have many, many, many things that I want to do. I want to save your people out of Egypt. I want to take him out of the bondage and I want to put him in a promised land. But you won't know it until I do it. And then I won't be just El Shaddai to you. I'll be more than plus. El Shaddai plus. I'll be Martin Luther plus. I'll be Wesley plus. I'll be Pentecost plus. Notice he was leaving many things unrevealed. But we look into the scripture. Let's turn. Is it all right? We keep reading scripture. Let's. I'm not just going to read it to you. Let's read it. John 16. When you're there, you can say amen. Let's just begin on verse 12. Notice John 16, 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, somebody say he. The spirit of what?
Truth.
The spirit of truth is come. What's he going to do? He'll guide you into all truth. It'll be another manifestation of me. It'll still be me. But it won't be locked in this one body. Gotta try to calm down, Brother Isaac. The word is rich. Notice, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you. He'll show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. Future home. That great city, brother, that you were talking about. Things that are to be. John 14, verse 26. Notice the scripture here says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. How is he going to send him? In my name? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Leave that up on the board just real quick. Notice we're looking at verse 26 here. We see something amazing here. The word says he's going to do what? Bring all things to your remembrance. So he's going to allow you to know all the things from the past, all the truths. All the truths from the past. He's the one that's going to bring it. Not a man, the Holy Ghost. He's going to go back and tell you that they lost their first love. He's going to go back and all the way, and it's going to be not a man, but the Holy Ghost that'll tell you. He'll bring these things in remembrance. In other words, he'll bring historical things, historical word to you, and you'll know the truth. And so what is he doing? He's taking yesterday. And then he comes and he says, to what? Teach you all things. In other words, he's going to show you all the doctrinal truths. And we're not going to guess, and we're not going to argue and fuss over him. He's going to come and tell us the baptism in Jesus Christ's name. All the doctrinal truths. What is he going to do? Tell us of today. And we look and notice, what is he going to say? What is he going to teach us? Whatsoever I have said to you, he's going to show us things to come. When? Yesterday. Today. Come on, church, and forever. He's the same God. He does not change. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Notice Acts 1 verse 8. In red letters here, the Bible says, but ye shall receive what? We say that like, oh, I'm just going to get power. no big deal, bro. I'm going to get some power. It's like, but you're going to get power, Brother Robert? Power?
Yeah.
But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I love this part. And ye shall be witnesses. Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, Brother Andrew. Witnesses to the uttermost. Notice we start seeing something taking place here. Now, they're going to start speaking. They're going to be speaking. Now, it'll be spoken in His Spirit. And they're going to have the same authority that He had. The same authority as His own word. Not power. I'll get power to rule the world. So we read that in every comic book that you could read when you were young. Everybody wanted power to rule the world. But you've been given power to rule over devils. To rule over all these things. Come on, church. That's real power. Power with character. Godly character. Not my will, but thine will be done, Lord. Can we read another scripture? Matthew chapter 10, verse 12. Notice the Bible says, and when ye come into a house, what are you going to do? All right, remember, it's talking about you now, just in case you don't know. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, oh, come
worthy.
Let your peace come upon it. You mean just sisters too? You young sisters? You have this authority? You have this power? No, it's just for you, Brother Manuel. It's for Brother Doug. But not me. I'm just a wee little kid. For you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Notice, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet. Be careful how you entreat somebody in your home. Even Lot knew that. Notice, Jesus saying, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as what? As doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their internets. Oh, they'll whip you. What do they call them? Keyboard karate people? They know a lot behind the keyboard, but you never see their face. And they'll run you down, church. They'll run down this word. They'll run down the message because they always have. And they'll hate you because they've always hated me. And ye shall be brought before the governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given in you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And I want to highlight this part, Brother Freddy. Notice, for it is... For it is not ye that speak. Soak that in. That's just somewhere that's going to pass through that and let it go. Notice what he's saying. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father. So does he keep his promises? He said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And now when you receive that Comforter, your words will be... For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. What were they talking about? The Son of God, the Holy Spirit. And we had a prophet of God that would go around preaching at churches and letting him know, this power will soon dwell in you. It's the Holy Spirit power. And he had to keep telling him, it's not just speaking in tongues. It's not just running around. And he would emphasize, it's the Holy Ghost. But no, they wanted to take their doctrine of man. And they wanted just the signs and the miracles and the wonders. but not the Spirit. They loved it, Brother Leon. They loved all these things Brother Branham could do. And there are great things and wonderful things, but when he started preaching, that you must be born again. That it's the Holy Ghost will change everything about you. It'll change the way you dress. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you live. It'll change everything about you. It'll be the word first and then the signs. It'll be the word first and then the wonders. It'll be the word first and then the miracles. All those things included. But they fought it and they resisted, just like their fathers did. And just at a certain time, they would reject that ministry. And when they would reject it, the Bible said there'd be time no more. And it wasn't the ending of the clock, or it wasn't the ending, the sun didn't stop to shine. But God was no longer dealing with denominations. That's why he had to say, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. They have locked me out the door. They have put me out of the church. But it had to happen. Jacob, by God leading him, he had to put his hands this way. We found out that they rejected the cross and allowed for the Gentiles. But we see the denominations rejected the word. They rejected the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And there was a greater manifestation coming then. It was time no more for them, but oh, what a time for us. What were the men, what were they rejecting? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we hear it all the time in the messages. Oh, you know, we don't believe in that. But they were saying, oh, you know, well, the days of these things are over. The days of miracles are over. What? Well, of course they are when they have Jesus outside the door. Then you have to bring in the Ringling Brothers. You walk into church, where's your song leader? I don't know, he got taken over. They took over the church. What do you mean? Here they, oh, they brought all their people. It's like a zoo in there. People are speaking in tongues here. People are going crazy here. It's all out of order. And people fall for that. We must have the word first. It has to be the pure, unadulterated word of Jesus Christ. Do you see in that rejection, they put Jesus outside the church. Brother Freddie, the Pentecostals rejected him. But we've been promised. Does God keep his promises? He promises that when the condition of the world would be like in the days of Noah. Come on, church. When you saw that condition, a promise would come. No longer we could say the Son of God, but now the Son of Man. Brother, you better back that statement up, Brother Manuel. It's easy. Notice we find out that when those days would be here, are those days here? Did they reject the word when it came to them? And it had to happen so that we could have the opening. Right? The terminology. I'm not going to fight all you brothers over it. Third pull, opening of the word, right? All these terms used. But let me tell you, we've heard it. Brother Chris preached it about the cloud coming down, right? And now we have the revealing, the opening of the word. God in a greater manifestation. But we needed that manifestation. To give us rapturing faith.
That's right.
Notice he was to come and reveal himself or manifest himself as Son of Man. No longer God in one man. But now God in a many member. God in a many membered bride. God in a many membered bride. So then we look and we say the name of God is important. The manifestation of what we this message has brought us. No wonder the devil wants to crush it. No wonder. He doesn't care if you believe God sent a prophet. He'll have you arguing over that all day long. So, yeah, okay, well, God sent a prophet, and, you know, this one's going to rise up, and that one's... We're not looking for nobody else. We've had our prophet. Hallelujah. To me, the greatest prophet that ever, ever, besides Christ himself. It was for my day. Notice we find it wasn't till the Pentecostals rejected. What did they reject? The leadership. The leadership of who? Of the Holy Ghost. We must be led by the Holy Ghost. They rejected that. But in that rejection, there was an opening that took place. Notice, I'm going to read you a quote. Brother Bram said, then he said, it was God in a man. When? In Jesus Christ's day. Remember when they identified him as Jesus. Oh, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. And then in that day, when Peter said, oh, you're the Son of God. He realized that it was Emmanuel. In that body. And notice, Brother Bram said, it was God in a man. Jesus Christ. But then he says, now it's God in man. Now it's God in man. It's the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. The head, that golden head. Church, it's the Son of Man back in his church again.
That's right.
Fulfilling his promises. God always fulfills his promise. What's he doing? Fulfilling his promise again. Notice, Brother Bram said, the Son of Man back in the church again. Oh, Brother Brady, it wasn't just a restoration, but he was waiting. Could you imagine? He said, get restored. One of these days, I'm going to live in that body. One of these days, I'm going to live in this body. He said, come on, brothers, get with it. I'm waiting. I want to live in you more than you want me to live in you. I'm ready. I want to give you the Holy Ghost. More than you wanted. Oh, this restoration that I've been working on. Oh, I've had the greatest artisans that you've ever seen. The greatest callers calling and calling and calling.
Amen.
And in every church age, there was restoration. Hallelujah, restoration. An anointing, a spirit. Until we come to this age. The final age. You realize that God wants to live inside of you. Like you restoring a home and say, oh, I'm just going to watch it from afar. You say, I put in, oh, a new dishwasher. Oh, I put in a new system, new water softening. I called in, oh, the greatest craftsman to put me up some shelves. I can't wait to put my books in there. And he's looking to you tonight. And some of you, he's already placed his books. Oh, you have Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy and Revelations, 1 Thessalonians. But some of you, he's placed in there Luke 17:30. And others, he put in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And others even have Revelations. Come on, church. Revelations 10. Amen. Somebody say, Lord, put more in me tonight, Lord God. I want more of you. Notice he said the Son of Man back in his church again. Back in his restoration. The Son of Man back in the church again. Revealed in human beings. Notice what he said. Not Son of God. But the Son of Man again. He's not excluding God, but all it is, brother, is just a greater nature. Now revealing his mission, right, brother? For you for this day. It's not just a mission to go to church. That's not your mission. Your mission just isn't just show up and pay your tithes and dress right and be good. Your mission is to reveal the mighty God unveiled. Not just me, but you. That's your mission. That's your mission, sis. We're on a mission. And just like those, you can't stop me from my mission. I talk against me, but I'll talk love about you. You might say I'm in a cult, but it doesn't matter. I love it this way. Nothing's going to persuade me off of this mission. I'm on a mission. We're showing forth Christ again, walking in shoe leather again in this day. Hallelujah, the Son of Man back in the church again, revealed in human beings, not Son of God, but the Son of Man again, back in his church again. When? In the last days. Where's the restoration? Right here. Where's the restoration? Right here. All the way down to the foundation. He's taking us all the way down to the foundation. And then he's brought us up perfectly, just like a master restorer. And it took time. And it took energy. Come on, church. And it took our God to do it. He wasn't in a hurry. Come on, church. He's a God of eternity. You know, the prophet's talking about it. It's going to take something to stir. It's going to take something to awaken this bride. She's just been so cold and formal for so long. It's going to take something to stir you up. It's going to take something to awaken you. What was it? God again in human form. You know, there's some people that seem like they'll never wake up. But church, the church had got so cold and formal and lukewarm, blind and naked. Come on, they didn't even know it. They had Christ out the door. And they try to tell you that this message is no good. You're too late, devil. You're too late. This message again is God again here tonight. He's not in some far off distant land. I don't got to pull him from here and there. He's right there. Sister, right there. So no way, let's pull God from way over there. But it would take something, Brother Merritt, to stir her up. Something to awaken her. Yes! And then the signs came. And then the miracles. And then everything he promised us. But it took the word to come in its fullness. Do you know that it takes a perfect word? It couldn't just take a 99.9% word. You got to be perfect. Just like your Father is perfect. And it's going to take a perfect word. That's why it was so careful in the restoration. That's why a prophet of God came and said, stay with the word. Stay with the word. You must stay with the word. Why? A little bit off will take you on another path. Oh, but I can hear perfection. Brother Daniel, what do you, I hear perfection. I hear it calling me. Come up a little higher. Come up a little higher. What's calling me? Perfection. Perfection. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What's calling you? Perfection. Come up a little higher. What is perfection? A perfect word. What did it do? It tied up all the loose ends. It went back of history. It came for today and told you what will be tomorrow. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Church, it was not just Son of Man and Brother Branham. Come on. But now in a many-membered bride. We hear all the time. The voice. The voice. The voice is in the bride. And people say, oh yeah, it is. It is. It is. What's the voice? Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. What have we been given? Wisdom and understanding. What did this message bring us? Wisdom and understanding. Amen. Understanding for what, Brother Manuel? To discern the two spirits. Where? Where? in the church.
Amen.
You've been given the perfect word to come and say, well, that's pretty close. Nothing you did. It was just free, sis. He just gave it to you. Now somebody comes and tries to tell you, oh, well, you know, I'm so upset with, you know, all these people that, you know, came against the Jews and all these things. You say, well, you know what? It was the mighty hand of Jehovah. The prophet of God said it was the tender hand of Jehovah. Say, well, you know what? I don't understand why these men and this man. Well, we understand. We understand what Nebuchadnezzar had to do. We understand what Stalin and Hitler had to do. We're not happy about it, but let me tell you, we have an understanding. But when they come and say, oh, is he saying, you know what? Our school kids know that already. But it's a spirit to take you back and live in history. So we got that. We have an understanding. It was the tender hand of Jehovah brought them. And it was a tender hand that brought you too. And some of you came kicking and fighting and scratching and all these things. But one day, hallelujah, you just died out and let God have his way. How many love the Lord tonight? Shout, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. Let's sing that song. What a mighty God we serve. You know that song, brother? Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Where is he? He's right here. He's right here tonight. Don't look for some far off other place. Be shut in this building tonight with God. Hallelujah. Start us off, brother.
What a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before heaven and earth adore. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Yes, well, Jesus is the God I serve. Yes, Jesus.
Let's just bow our head and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed Father, Lord, for bringing the revelation, Lord. Lord, for bringing the faith, Father, for your people to take a rapture tonight, Father. Lord, we want to thank you, Father. Lord, for we can worship you, Lord, in your true nature, your true manifestation tonight, Father, in spirit. And in truth, Lord God. Father, thank you for this message. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you for the prophet, Lord God. And thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Lord, you're so good to us, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, if there's a feeble one in this building, Lord, I ask now, Lord God, that you'd increase their faith. Lord, increase the faith in this building tonight, Lord. Lord, increase the wisdom in this building, Lord God. Let it be your power, Lord God. Let it be your character, Father. Lord, let it be your word, Father. Everything about you, Lord. We want to just bow our hearts one more time, Lord. Lord, tonight bless my mother-in-law. Lord, her name's Mary, Lord. She's been so good to us, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, if you would just send the Holy Spirit to touch her now, Lord. Father, reveal to her who you are, Lord. Reveal to her the truth, Father. Lord, for these things I pray, Lord. Every person in the building, Lord God. If you have a need, just raise your hand. If you don't believe he's here, don't raise your hand. But if you know that he's here tonight, just reach out. Reach out and touch the Lord as he's passing by. Oh, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Speak the word, little bride. Speak the word. Whatever you have need of tonight.
Reach out, King. Reach out, King. Reach out.
Oh, just stay reaching out.
And touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find.